Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with dirty magazines. So your mama wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
You're listening to the Screw podcast with Felicia Rose and A-Love. Hi, A-Love.
Hey, what's up, girl? I tried to remember to say three this time because I'm always on the count of three and it's like one, two, and then I just point at you. So it's not really on the count of three. I love it. All I can see is this like glowing ember in front of your face, which is
I know, it's dark. It's like gloomy out today, which I'm fine with because I feel gloomy.
You feel gloomy?
I just feel tired. So
yeah.
Just a quick recap of my life. I started a new anxiety medicine, which I'm like slowly. I'm slowly increasing dosage over time because it also doubles as a migraine medicine.
Nice.
So the initial side effects are insomnia. So I've just been in kind of a sleepy bear hole after my 2 weeks of not sleeping. Now I'm just like, I need to sleep so much. So I don't feel like mentally gloomy. I just feel like, I could nap with this fleecy blankie right now. That would be nice.
Nice. I've been in a couple of sleepy bear holes before.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I see what you did there. Another update. I went to the gyno yesterday.
Oh.
I have a new gynecologist. And
is it a Chica or a Chico?
Him.
Oh, it's a him. Okay.
Yeah. I have only seen women for like my Planned Parenthood visits. So
how
my
do
abortion.
You feel? Do you have like a preference?
I do not. So basically what happened is I had been overdue for like a full well woman's exam. Like I've done pieces of these things like over the last couple years, but post COVID I haven't really, you know, like I went to Planned Parenthood, got my IUD taken out, got tested. I get tested by my PCP for most stuff, but not all. Like, you know, I haven't really done like the full workup with like the titty touching and like the full duck and all that. So it's been a while. And I decided, you know, there's layers to this. So I decided it was time. And I basically went on to my app for, I have a couple different, what is it? Networks,
I guess. Wait, you have an app to find somebody to inspect your pussy? Isn't that just Tinder?
Yeah. So I am a part of a couple networks like Northwell Health and Mount Sinai or whatever,
okay.
You know, because I get my teeth taken care of through this network.
You mean for like your electronic health record kind of stuff?
Okay. There's a couple different quote unquote networks that I go through. So I basically went on to all of my apps that I'm a part of, and you can schedule appointments with doctors through most of these apps. So I tried to find OBGYNs taking my health insurance. Now, one of the apps has absolutely no fucking updated information. So I booked 4 OBGYN appointments that were all subsequently canceled because the OBGYN didn't actually take my insurance as it claimed to.
Oh.
The most recent one was a 3-week wait before they finally called me to tell me that they didn't take it.
Oh shit.
So I'm sitting there like, oh, I'm 3 days away from my appointment. Just kidding. That's canceled. So then finally I got fed up with that. So I went onto my other network and that app seems to actually work properly. So I found somebody that was taking new patients quickly because I'm just like, once I get it in my head, I need to do it or else it'll be another year before I do it. Right.
Right. No,
and
totally.
I had a couple concerns. Like I have lactating breasts and that could mean absolutely nothing. It could just stimulation. It could also mean that I have like a hormonal thing, like a prolactin thing.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I need to like just get checked out. It's, you know, that's been too long. So I finally found somebody. I found four people. No. And then finally I found somebody that was taking my insurance. they called me, got all my records, da-da-da. So I finally saw him yesterday, and I loved him. He was great. No shaming, no nice. Dismissing, which, as I've spoken about on here before, one of the last OBGYNs that I saw, I didn't go back to because I asked him to put me on PrEP. Mm-hmm. And because at the time I was very sexually active, and he instead told me how he felt about the new Queen movie that had come out, Bohemian Rhapsody or whatever it was called. Remember? It was down the street from your house in Jackson.
Oh my
Heights.
God, that's funny.
And it's funny because when I pulled the records to give to the new person, he wrote sex worker, which I believe I told him I was an online sex worker, but either way, whatever, dude. He wrote sex worker, talk to her about how to stay safe. What are you talking about? I actually asked you to put me on something to keep me safe, and you told me about a movie.
You know what that is? That's one of those things where, like, he went back later and was like, oh, I missed an opportunity here.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
just before I forget, if any of you have insurance, things like well women visits, physicals, getting your like flu shot, oftentimes your insurance company will have like incentives that they'll give you points that you can buy shit online. Just a little food for thought. Might as well get your most out of
fun fact.
Shitty insurance as possible.
That's true. That is true. They do incentive because the healthier you are, the lower their
So how long have you been lactating? Like I had like I feel like did I know this?
I don't know why that just made the way you just worded that.
No, because I read it and I don't know
Misha,
if I was
I need to know how long
I don't know
your,
like
your
when you told
could me for.
When you told me that the other night, I think like I was like on a like edible or something, and I was like, why does that sound so hot to me right now? And like this weird it's like, oh, her
so I do
boobs
actually
are...
make content with it.
And that I also how did I also not know that?
Well, I don't know. Well, okay, so I will say at first I was like self-conscious about it because I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, why am and also, you know, like I had a partner that was sucking on my tits, like, yo, what is this? It's like, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. Like, I was so he ended up not caring, but like at first I was like, oh my god, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I didn't know that this was a thing. So I did a lot of research and I realized, like, oh, okay, like again, this could just be like a hormonal thing. This could also be just straight up a stimulation thing. And that seems to be when it does occur. So like I have these things called nipple suckers that are, anybody that's watched my content knows, they're like these pink little, they look like little like cats.
Oh, I've seen them. And you
yeah, you suck them to like your nipple itself. Gotcha. And if you like squeeze them a bunch.
Yeah.
On me at least. Liquid comes out of my nipples.
Wow.
So
you can have like a latte afterwards, right?
It's not so abundant. Like okay. I see a lot of like lactation. Like those are typically either people that have breastfed or are, you know, pregnant or have been pregnant or something like that.
Yeah.
I have been pregnant, but it was only for 3 months and then I aborted the thing. So it's not from that. It's just, it's been, I want to say maybe 3 or 4 years since it started.
Okay.
And, or at least since I noticed, but I mean, I have my tits in my mouth a lot. I would have noticed it sooner if that was the thing. But at first, again, I was self-conscious about it, but then I was like, wait, this is like a turn on for a lot of people. So I started to make content. You can't put it on OnlyFans. So it's only on my many vids.
Okay.
Where like there's actual liquid coming out. And yeah, it's like, again, it's like not super abundant, but like if I work on them enough for like long enough and like I pull away the sucker, it'll like dribble out, you know, you can see it.
Like it's like, it's almost like pre-cum. Like, and I mean like.
Yeah. If you think about what it is, it is. It's the lubricant essentially before the milk that would come out to feed your baby.
So what's it taste like? What's it taste like?
It's just like, it's like kind of a little sweet. It's not, it's like, I don't know. It
you know what this
like
reminds
a,
me of? It reminds me of.
It's not sour at all, though. It's like sweet.
It reminds me of, remember like the article Ayan wrote that like was about like fetishes like that? Like I was just like, I immediately was like, oh yeah, why have I had the conversation about this before?
Yeah, I do actually remember that piece of that. That's funny.
It was really,
yeah,
really
so
interesting.
It's interesting. There's nothing to be ashamed of. No. And there are people out there that just are, because of like prolactin or whatever, they're able to fully, like, I hate the word milk themselves.
Yeah.
They can fully. Mine is just like a dribble, though. It's not anything abundant or crazy.
I am curious, because you know what I was just also thinking was that's always the fluid that people forget to list for possible HIV transmission is that breast milk. But I wonder if it's the same for whatever. I mean, it must be. Like, it's pretty much, it's like.
I would assume so.
I would assume so, too.
I don't know if. But, yeah, I don't know if it would. Yeah,
if you're curious, double check. Especially those of you who are serious about like no fluid play, because typically people wouldn't think about like fluids from just sucking on the titties, you know?
Yeah.
And I wonder.
Yeah, it's wild.
Some men lactate, right? Like I remember hearing.
Yes.
About this. Yeah. And
I believe that's just a hormonal thing.
Yeah.
I think that's what that is. Yeah. You have an imbalance of your hormones.
Most people say that they would, like, never leave their house if they could, like, suck their own dick. But if I could suck on my nipples, I would never leave my house. Like,
I know. I know.
Just the thought of it. And I actually wonder, like part of me wonders, yeah, sure, over time, maybe it wouldn't, like, feel the same. You know, like, because, like, when you first start dipping off, it feels
like. That's
not
true.
It's not true? You don't. Oh, my God. That's so interesting.
Not for me. I still, like, I'm not desensitized at all. Like, my tits are my number one hotspot. And. One is more sensitive than the other, but that's the one that I play with the most. So it's not like over time it calluses or any, you know, like it's truly.
Right.
Then again, I'm not sucking my nipples 24 hours a fucking day. I'm sure after time, you know, then they would get dry and raw and all of that. But like, as far as like just continuous play, no, the sensation is still just as intense as like the first time. The only thing I will say is the only reason I actually try to keep my weight down is so that my double chin doesn't get in the way of me sucking my tits. But also, if I'm too small, which I have been in the past,
then you can't
my
reach
tits
them.
Aren't big enough. They're not big enough to scoop and put in my mouth. Yeah, so it's a double-edged.
I wonder.
I have to stay right in like the 165 range. Otherwise, I have a hard time.
I wonder how much more weight I would have to gain to be able to like get my titty in my mouth. Goals.
Well, you're tall, so I don't know. Wait, where's your nipple in comparison to your head? Point it.
Like right here. Look at how it hair. Can you see how hairy I'm getting in my old age? It's so bizarre.
Wow. You have like four hairs instead of one.
Bitch. I have like had no chest hair my whole life, and it's like starting to. So like I was reading somewhere that like I don't even actually know. I don't want to say that, qualify that, but that low testosterone levels can lead to lower sensitivity on like your nipples. And I thought that was like.
Well, maybe I have high testosterone.
So. I didn't realize what like a delicate balance of like at least for dudes like this estrogen slash testosterone thing testosterone thing is because I did went out and I got my testosterone levels checked because I was like you know they say once you start like I think over 35 or something you know get them tested see what it's like especially if you're having. You know, because I'm always thinking, I have low energy because I'm aging, not because I'm doing 12,000 fucking things. But I went and got my testosterone tested. And it's like off the charts kind of high. So like not a problem. Actually, all my levels were really good. So my estrogen's where it should be. My DHEA, all these like things that go into these like hormone level shit, I guess. But I've never had my hormones tested before. So I was very curious to see, you know, and of course, like I am not a candidate for testosterone replacement therapy. They're like, no, dude, we give you any more. You're never going to leave the house. So, you know, which, you know, my first therapist, we would have these conversations because I'm like, I'm not preoccupied with sex, but like, I have a healthy libido. And she was like, yeah, some people just have, like, it's in their, like, you know, chemistry that they're, like, wired to, like, have these elevated levels all the time. Because there's also, like, the idea and the concept of, like, sex addiction and stuff like that, which,
sure,
like,
yeah,
you know, over time, we decided that actually, like, wasn't my issue. That, like, I'm not the type that that can't get other stuff done, you know, that, like, I just have a high libido. So there you have it, folks.
I don't know. I feel like I've watched you leave class, work, other things, okay, more than once, all to right, go get your dick.
All right. I mean, we like to tell the truth on this podcast. Done, but
you have been interrupted before. Okay. So okay. I do remember you leaving me alone many a time in many a place to right, go get your dick. And
I'm like, hey, I gotta go.
Hey, I was always safe. He never left me in unsafe places, I promise.
Yeah, I've never left you at a bar or something to go. So, like,
that's not true, Aaron.
Wait, when?
You brought me to gay bars and then walked into the bathroom and spent hours in there.
Oh, well, that's not the same as going home with somebody and leaving you at the bar.
Oh, no.
You've never. I mean, I'll
if you did that anyways, like, I'm a big girl, I'm fine. That's not. But I'm just saying that,
okay,
you get things done, but you also include getting your dicks on.
That's true. Because, you know,
we're going to be in New Orleans next week. I'm so excited.
Where I will probably leave to get my dick sucked at some point. I mean,
yeah, at a gay bar that probably won't allow women in aside from me, because I'm apparently an exception to the rule.
You're a beautiful. You're not an exception. You're an addition to the rule.
That's so sweet. I love that. That's,
I mean,
adorable.
You know, and someday we'll get better at all this as a society, I hope. So I went to go see David Sedaris at the university here. And, like, you know, like all good things from our youth, they tend not to age well in adulthood. and look, I'm saying this because, like, the reality is, you know, he's a very funny guy. And, you know, he's queer. Oh, wait. But he doesn't refer to himself as queer. He thinks the queer umbrella is, like, part of the problem. That we are the people causing all these issues. Like, I mean, I couldn't believe some of the shit that came out of his mouth, right? Like, this kind of, like, immediately after the election, this, like, anti-woke, like, thing coming from, like, liberal-leaning queer people is, like, horrifying. You know, it's way to fall for the trap, bitches. Seriously. Like, way to fall right the fuck in. Anyways, the other problem, and I realized, was that, you know, my partner's, you know, younger than I am, and you realize very quickly that sometimes, like, the references these people make are, like, very outdated. Everybody in the audience had a white head, you know, except for myself, of course. And, you know, I found myself, like, really feeling like this is some pretentious shit coming out of this dude's mouth. The shit he's name dropping. He's criticizing and making, like, Catholic school jokes while at the same time, like, weaving this story about how he was invited to visit the Pope along with, like, Julia Louise Dreyfus and a couple other people, like Jim Gaffigan. These were all funny people were, like, invited to visit the Pope at some point. So, like, there was all of this kind of contradictions and hypocrisy. And sure, you're a humorist, so maybe it's just in the name of, like, humor. But the name dropping, the pretentiousness, like, I remember when this guy was raving about being an elf at the mall for, like, extra pocket change, you know? And, like, this is who you, like, talk about forgetting, like, the roots of your reality. You know, there were things that I used to be able to relate to. And now I could think of, is this sound super pretentious? Anyways, that's not the story. I just wanted to lay the ground because I was already, like, kind of jacked up. And then so we went out for a drink at the local gay bar, which we don't do very often. And, like, ran into some queer bees from you from the university, which, you know, it's always a chance, right? And so one of them had talked to me like on Grindr, and I just keep running into him. And, you know, all of a sudden we were like kind of crowded by a bunch of 20-something college students who were feeling a way about the election or whatever. And like, you know, started these, whatever. I was drunk like instantly off of one drink because I don't drink that often. And like, you know, historically, I've not been a big one playing around with the pronouns, like when you're at a table of like queer dudes. But like, I was feeling frothy after like David Sedaris, and like
not frothy.
And like, so somebody said something, and I was like, "Girl" or "she" or something like that. And like, one of them immediately kind of stopped the conversation and said, "I just want to be clear. My pronouns are he, him. I am not a girl." I was like, okay, fair enough, queen. We can, and again, yeah, daddy ain't taking shit at this point. I've been through too many moons to like play this kind of like entrapment game of conversation. Like, we're all sitting around, the other two boys are floating around the terms queen and whatever. Like, I get you. Times are rough. But then I got called out a little bit later in the conversation over like pronouncing Kamala's name a little bit incorrectly. And I like, I had to stop. Well, my partner actually like got all like roused up too and said, "You don't know this gentleman and the stuff like he thinks about and works on all day in his life." It was very sweet, like my knight in shining armor. But, you know, I continued to have a conversation and I was like, frankly, these kind of little things here are why he got elected. Let's just be clear. While I appreciate what you're saying, and I certainly appreciate that everybody's name should be pronounced correctly, this kind of shit is the stuff that like starts dividing us up in the community a little too much. You know, I'm like, first of all, I had a South Asian partner for many years and nobody could pronounce his name. And I feel like you wouldn't have pronounced his name correctly either. Just because you've heard this individual's name on television and saw a 20-minute presentation of how to pronounce her name at the Democratic Convention, it's probably why you're pronouncing her name correctly. Like, all of a sudden, he was shocked about, like, how much I actually knew and how much I actually followed. And it was kind of this, well, I've traveled the world. Well, where have you been? Germany, the United Kingdom, Australia. I'm like, those are some white ass fucking places you're visiting for like throwing down with the identity politic to me. Like, it was like, you're always like a little put off. And like, you know, by, I had obviously won him over by the end of the conversation. He's sitting there like drunkenly telling my partner, "He really gets me." Which, you know, is God. Fine.
I feel like a lot of people don't actually have any real knowledge to have an argument. Right. So they find the lowest hanging fruit that they can pick on someone for. And then they put you in a box. Oh, he said that name a little bit wrong, so he must be absolutely ignorant. And it's just, right. You know, you're showing that you absolutely. Have no tolerance
absolutely.
For anything outside of your own understanding and your own knowledge and your own education. And that it that alone itself is extremely polarizing.
Absolutely.
You know, for you to say, in order for me to take you seriously, you need to have these five facts stored in your brain, whatever they may be.
Yeah.
I'm well, sorry, I mean, but, like,
the hypocrisies are
piece of shit.
The hypocrisies are endless. Like, I'm sure you like step over a homeless body on the street with like no concern or like some sort of negative thought about him, you know, and I'm sure you have all of these, you know, things that could be called out for you. But is that really, you know, and like, meanwhile, simultaneously trying to tell me this election means it's so important that the community sticks together and gets together. I'm like, agreed. promise you this isn't the way to do it. I promise.
There was almost like an accusation of you misgendering when you that was not what you were doing. And there is...
Well, yeah, because he's sitting there telling me, well, you don't think trans pronouns are important? I was like, I didn't say that. Like, we
the
were...
What does that have to do with you?
With any of it.
Just stop.
Exactly.
Stop.
Exactly.
You're erasing queer culture in that. It's like...
Well, and I tried to make the point and said, you know, I do find all of those things incredibly important. And I'm really kind of confused on, like, what the insult is to, like, as a quote-unquote confident gay man, you know, sitting here. And again, you're kept labeling me a gay man and saying, oh, older gay men always do this pronoun thing. I'm like, okay, but... who told you I was a gay man? this is what I mean. Do you want to keep splitting hairs over like identity labels until like we have no opportunity to like get together and have conversations? And I'm sorry. It's kind of all the like faux liberal white gay dudes that are constantly holding the torch for things. Ironically, they don't like find offensive in their everyday. For instance, I went to take a leak, opened up, saw his social media profile for Grindr, mask men only.
Oh, interesting.
White, nerdy guys to the front. I'm like...
Wait, really? That did not say that.
It did. And I was just kind of like... You know, yikes. I'm not going to go back out and shame you, but what I did go back out is tell my partner it was time to leave.
<laughs> <laughs> See, those are examples of people that are just aching to find flaws in your speech, your conversation, your whatever. And it's giving people that corrected people for saying axe instead of ask.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh my God, be a little bit more fucking ignorant.
But, you know, especially when you're trying to like actually have a conversation, because, you know, you go out after this election, all everybody does is kind of look at you with that like, you know, like depressed, desolate look. And look, I get it. I'm not invalidating it. But let's have a conversation about it, you know, and which they were trying to. And, you know, I just kept saying because like, the narrative is just like clearly this planet, like this country is filled with like nasty asshole bigots. You know, I have no hope, you know, and I'm trying to explain like numbers wise how like this really doesn't translate to being the entire way the United States feels, because only percentage of people are voting. And of that percentage of people that are voting, it's kind of like half and half, you know, like when you're talking like hundreds of millions of people, like a few million is not like a huge commentary. It's like Georgia, you know, like,
right.
You know, and say, you know, trying to say this because, you know, people are very quick to blame one another, which I just think like pulls up more divisiveness. This isn't excusing bigotry or whatever, but I'm saying keep it in perspective for your own sense of well-being that, you know, our education system has been turning to crap for years. People don't have logical debates. And therefore, when you like inundate them in media with like scare tactics, a lot of people are susceptible to it. And it doesn't excuse their like ignorance in that sense, because we're all supposedly free thinking people. But maybe it'll make you not think it's like this random force of like horrible occurrence. It is something worked on and perpetuated by people in power to keep us like kind of at each other's throats. And I do think that's important information. It will help you navigate conversations for the next 4 years. It will help you, you know, I don't personally have a problem for people dumping people with like really bad political beliefs. I actually think you're a fucking moron if you don't. Good luck staying with somebody that doesn't see the world ideologically the same as you. I'm not sure how that works. I'm not sure what values you raise your kids with. I'm not sure, like, you know, how that translates to passion and respect between each other. But, you know, if you can do it, good for you. But, you know, because you're seeing all this, it's so divisive. These people want to dump people that, like, voted for this fucking Voldemort character. And, like, I get you. I get you. I wouldn't date any of those people either. But let's like work on how we talk about like these divisions, because there's no learning. There's no gaining ground. If you do have to work for people to see things the way you see. That was the whole point of debate teams and stuff in school, and like trying to understand these things, is that there are forces in this world that want us to think one way and some that want us to think the other way. And if you want a critical mass, at least politically, you're gonna have to figure out how to talk to those people and open their eyes a little bit. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. So with CNN and Fox being the top two sources that Americans get their news from, you should be able to understand this division kind of falls along the lines of viewership. So, and it really puts a crank in my like night. Like, how am me and my partner supposed to pick up a hot third with you like going on about depressing shit like this? Like, save it for truly, the classroom.
especially when you have like bigotry in your own Grindr profile. Like, what the fuck are we trying to prove here?
You're going on trying to lecture me about the trans movement, bitch. I was like part of like fighting for trans rights before it became trendy with the LGBT community. So, fuck you. But that's part absolutely. Of where like, you know, even in conversations, like, you have to know your own shit. Don't start going and, like, citing your, you know, resume of wokeness. It's fucking stupid, too. You should, like, demonstrate your wokeness by the things that come out of your mouth. So, like, period. What do you support? What do you stand for? You know?
I just feel like in this kind of situation, it was obvious and very clear that you were not quote unquote misgendering.
Right.
You were using common, you know, gay space tropes that are used often.
Yeah.
Girl, queen, she, these are not, turn on RuPaul's Drag Race. Okay. For one of the most watched and digested gay TV show things ever in existence. That happens nonstop there.
Right.
Okay. And well, they're drag queens. No. That happens within the drag queens and without, like, outside of the drag queens. Yeah. So my point is that this is not new. This is not, you know, offensive language. And if it's something that bothers you specifically, just simply say, I'd prefer if you didn't refer to me in those ways.
Absolutely.
Queen, she, whatever. Instead of trying to accuse you of something you were not doing, right? You were not doing a misgendering of actual, you know, this wasn't like a thought out thing. This was just you using common language that's in the gay community that is very, very, very common. Like you said, everybody else at the table was doing the same shit.
Right.
But because you were the older one,
they
decided to get on their high horse of, this is one of the gay guys that doesn't want anything to be different. This is one of the gay guys that doesn't respect trans. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me. No. You came after the wrong motherfucker. Absolutely.
It was really
not what we're doing here. But
you know, whatever. I also get it. I remember being younger. I remember feeling the same thing about, you know, men in the gay bars and like, you know, their casualness. But like, I also thought it was a thing of camaraderie in some sense, because we are, you know, constantly, you know, it's kind of a toxic masculinity, you know, kind of reclamation of sorts, in the sense that, you know, when you're a little queer boy, you know, they do start like misgendering you, I'm mispronouncing you on purpose to like make you feel lesser. My whole point is that when we're using it, it's not a thing of like lesser, it's a thing of like camaraderie almost, you know.
Right.
And you know, it's again something I I've never really thought about it. I've never really implored a lot. But honestly, the queer men in society do it more now than when I was younger. And again, it's that RuPaul kind of influence for sure. I couldn't believe but Ru is an old school bitch and everybody feels comfortable being kind of old schooly. Does she get it right all the time? She certainly does not. But hey, you know, I think we have bigger fish to fry right now, you know, and I don't.
Right. This wasn't some straight guy in a straight bar going, okay, bitch. Okay, you sassy girl. Like, I don't even know.
And me doing that perpetuates, up, you know? Like, a less negative thing than you putting masculinity in your fucking profile. You know? Oh, I mean, I love the justifications, like, people, you know? And if it's a preference, cool, dude. That's a preference. If you have it, you might be wiser to work that out in a back and forth conversation, because I'm telling you, we are of an age where less people are like comfortable or forgiving of you putting that in your profile, because it bothers a lot more people than you think. You know, just anecdotally having conversations with people over the last few years, you know, this immediate like analysis, reading something like that in a profile makes you do, which is like inventory your own masculinity by a measuring stick that doesn't fucking exist. So, you know, and I get it, you know, especially as queer men seeking other queer men, there is that element of like the stereotypical masculinity, which I will say we are constructed, because I still believe all of these like desires, even when you're queer, it's like the homo flip of what are we supposed to find attractive about another man? You know, and I've seen definitely many profiles. If I wanted a woman, I would date a woman. Or, you know, just this kind of ewness about women in general embedded in that. Right? Yeah. It's like, wow. You can't go out there and keep saying you support women and like pussy hats and Planned Parenthood while like perpetuating like a kind of toxic masculinity within the community on our end about men that like are comfortable being like more feminine. Again, whatever that fucking means, you know?
Well, right. You're not helping the allegations that gay men turn out gay because they hate their mommy. You know, that's not helping perpetuate the right stereotypes there, Tootsie Pop. So.
While simultaneously often being attached at the hip to her, you know? So it's like not one size fits all, gentlemen. You know, and I wanted to bring it up because it is kind of like, you know, I'm in, I guess, prime beef daddy phase right now. And like, I happen
100% USDA grade
daddy. So, and you know, I'm walking around college campuses where, you know, the median age is definitely younger than me. But, you know, also in a time where there seems to be a lot more bolder, younger people, like, daddy baiting. No, because I see it. Like, I see it in profiles. I see it. And somehow, it's like, the way, like, they devour me. Like, this other one at the table just kept saying, your hair is so beautiful. You are so sexy. I know you remember I told you that online. Like, you know, I talked to him like a year ago and never did anything. And like, because, you know, no offense. I love you, twinks. Sometimes you're too much. You're a little too much maintenance for me. My time in life. And while I appreciate your beauty, which you think is your calling card, it's not. I promise your mind will go a long way, always and forever. Your mind will go a longer way than your body. No, because like, you know, and I also get it. When you're young, you know, you're on fire for like exploring your attractions. And you should. You totally should. But you can't always expect that, like, your youth and beauty alone is going to seal the deal for you, because it will not, you know, especially not with some level of daddies that have some kind of confidence and don't need to suck your life force to survive. I've got my own. I'm good.
Life force sucked.
Well, you know, little sucky sucky. No, but it's funny because, like, you know, as we stated at the beginning, my testosterone levels are pretty high. I can keep up with a lot of shit, you know, but these boys are like a live wire, meaning like they all want to do it in 15 minutes before class starts or before their roommate gets home.
Right.
I don't have the space for those interactions anymore. You know, just they're not that thrilling in that sense, you know?
I get it. Yeah. The same things that were titillating when we're younger, they become kind of not necessarily boring, but they're too much maintenance for not enough payoff. And yes. I think that there definitely there's something to be said about quality over quantity, especially as you get older. I feel like as you're younger, you want as many. For people like us, right? Mm. Maybe a little slightly hypersexual, whatever. You want as many experiences as possible to, I don't know if it's a, you know, in a way to kind of solidify or confirm your, or just to be able to say that you had them. I don't know. You know, when you're younger, the motivation is way different than when you're older. Totally. When you're older, you're like, what would it take to get me to shave my big toe tonight? It's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot, not going to lie. So,
yeah, totally. Yeah, no, I mean,
I think that's why a lot of people like cohabitate as they get older in a more serious way. It's just, it makes more sense. It makes more sense to have, I don't mean in an effort way. You should always be putting in effort, but sure. I do mean in a sort of expectation way. You know, I don't expect much out of a fucking quickie compared to something that like I've built up
cleaning my ass for 7 minutes. I'm just like, I'm not.
Oh God, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not trying to stereotype. Not trying to stereotype all like youngins as being like, you know, minute men. But you know, I get it. You're riled up. Your refract period is most likely better than me as well. So you know, it's not so much. But like for me, with like time management and everything, you know, if I'm making space for this experience, it's going to be worth it for me, period.
Yeah,
you know, whatever true. That means by my definition, and you're allowed that. Everybody is allowed that. You know, we say it all the time, but I think it always bears repeating, you know.
Well, I mean, unless you're that guy that we saw on that video that I sent you where there was this, I think it was in New York, some guy walking around asking other gay men how they clean out, or queer men,
oh my God,
how they clean out their asses. And the first one on the interview, he goes, oh, a baby wipe. And the guy was like, what? The interviewer was like, what?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. You just, you know, you take a baby wipe and just go up there and do a little swiping back and forth and then you're good. And everybody in the comments tore him to fucking shreds.
I actually,
everybody was like, either he has the most high fiber diet in the world or like he getting shit on everybody.
Okay.
I died in laughter.
So I had like two opinions about that. Like one, like yeah. One of the comments I read was apparently whatever he was talking about, however he quoted it, like circle around whatever, was apparently from a gospel song, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't know
yeah.
that.
And so, because you said read the comments. So I read the comments. Course. And, you know, I'm kind of was like paying attention to, you know, who believed him for sure. And here's the thing. They always say, and I'll say anecdotally, I've heard this and maybe experienced this, if you're eating well, if you're taking high fiber, you should not be like super impacted, super deep. And the reality is we know what the food supply is like in this fucking planet. So, you know, if that's you, great. You know, I try to take fiber every day. I really do. But like, you know, it's also about how deep are you getting penetrated, you know, like what does it take to you for you to feel comfortable and clean, you know? And I've heard many times soap and water and a soapy finger in the hole is more than enough. I think that that's probably true for like 6 inches and under. But like when you start like feeling that pressing at that second hole, it's your comfortability is going to change completely. So I think maybe it's sufficient for, you know, an average situation, all puns intended. But I don't know, you know, if that would suffice. And certainly if you're like into deep toy use and all these other things, like, you know, while the other person's scenario was a little bit over the top, but I've certainly met people who are preparing to bottom that, you know, do have like a ritualistic, you know, kind of thing.
The part that got me was that the interviewer, he then asked, like, well, what do you do to the interviewer? Uh-huh. And he was like, oh, I fill up the bulb and then I get, you know, what the standard answer typically is. He fills up the anal douche essentially and goes up there and cleans out. Mm-hmm. And the guy being interviewed looked at him like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's the part that got me.
Yeah.
Not that this person has a cleaning ritual that deviates from what we would consider quote unquote the norm, but that this person didn't know that most people have to go up in their ass with an anal douche in order to get their ass anal ready.
Right.
So that part I was so entertained by because, right. And I would get, I don't know, I don't want to make this assumption, but I'm going to assume that a decent amount of straight women probably don't know that that's a thing either.
Right.
The anal douche with the bulb thing. Yeah. I didn't know it until I met you when I was like 19. Yeah. And you were like, oh, no. There's like a way to clean out your ass that's not fucking soap on a washcloth. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That'll make my anal experiences better, you know? So,
yeah. I mean, and I think it's
The fact that he hadn't known and he didn't look like he was 18, you know, right. Like he looked like a whole grown adult. I was like, what the fuck? Who didn't tell you how to clean an ass?
One thing I can say is that like anal cleaning practices, unfortunately, span and fail across all age groups, you know, which is one of the reasons we talk about it so many times on here, because you know, it is a thing. Everybody talks about anal, but there's nothing realistically, you know, like I've said about every queer movie or queer show I've ever seen. Really, you went from making out to fucking in the ass with no other conversation. Like, I know people don't want to hear the conversation recorded, but like you're also not perpetuating like real queer sex then, where like something is like,
right,
yeah,
true.
I'll see you in a few minutes. I'm just going to go get ready in the bathroom. Like, you don't have to say, hey, I got to go wash my ass, but like...
I think it's similar with all sex scenarios that are portrayed on not every single one, but oftentimes, you know, somebody will get home from going for a run and then their man is all over them and they want to fuck. And I'm like, what are we doing with like the bacteria?
Right.
Now you're creating a yeast infection. She didn't clean her cooter pooter. Like there's a lot of that goes on where they don't want to ruin the romance of the scene, but it's like, okay, then set up a sexier scene where the person didn't just eat at an all-you-can-eat buffet, and now they're getting pounded. I don't care if it's your ass or your pussy. You're not getting pounded after all-you-can-eat buffet. And if you are, holy shit, you must have an iron stomach because, like, absolutely not, you know? Like, no way in fucking hell. It's, you know, this reminds me of that time that I taught my ex how to clean his ass so that I could peg him, and then he went and got arrested because he went to go steal the bulb.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was too embarrassed to buy it.
Oh, my God.
Or I don't know if he was embarrassed or he didn't have the money or whatever, but he ended up getting arrested.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I do remember that. I mean, and I get it. It's an embarrassing experience.
Poor thing.
Which why some people would say, like, look, you don't need a 12-pack of saline enemas. Like, you can discreetly order a bulb situation online if you're able.
Turkey base that ass. You're good.
Yeah. Well, the thing that's great about the bulb, right? Because the reality is the more you keep like inserting and exerting like a nozzle into your anal cavity, you have like potential for tearing it. You have like potential just to like make it sore and raw. So like the bulbs are great because it's usually like the right amount of water. Whereas like an enema, you're getting like, you know, a little mini fill each time. You know, they're not, Fleet didn't create those things for queer men to clean out all the time, although I'm sure they appreciate the sales because of it. So, you know, I mean, it's a thing, but it doesn't have to be a thing. And unfortunately, I see, you know, both sides, like the nervousness about a mess and then like, oh my God, that's so much work to clean out just to get fucked. I hear you. Doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying in the theme of Thanksgiving coming up, turkey base that ass if you need to, you know. No, there's ways to get your ass clean.
It's
You're good.
Beautiful. You're so right.
For the record, I personally have I've never used a turkey baster, but I've only used the bulb situation once, and I've had anal more than once. I think it's something about like just knowing your body too.
Yeah.
Like knowing where 100%. You are in digestion.
100%.
And knowing where you are in cleanliness, and then also doing the right double checks of like, okay, we're good. Now, I have had a close call, not full call, not a full display, if you will, but I have had a very close call. It came pretty close. And I had to end the situation because I was like, I did not.
Because the guy didn't have $5,000.
If you don't know that reference, tune into our last episode. Shaming for shit. Yeah. So yes, yes and no. No, but it was, I haven't, it's been like 10 years since I did that, but yeah, it's been a long time, but it was one of the people that always wanted it. And so therefore I would do it often. And I had a little too much confidence this one time and nope, I should not have. And luckily again, I stopped it before it became a situation, but just, it was unsexy that I had to stop it. You know, I was like, oh, okay, we're not going to raw dog this situation anymore. We're going to make sure we go in with full preparedness.
Seriously. I mean,
I was young, dumb, and full of,
I hear you. Like, you know, I was like, I was talking to a friend the other day and they were like, wouldn't it just be great if there was like a Tide Pod like thing you could shove in your ass for self-cleaning? Like,
oh my God,
you popped it in. Imagine. There like maybe an hour beforehand and like, you know, it did the full-on trick. You like expelled and you were good to go, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be so sick.
You Somebody's going to make like, a lot of money if they come up with that.
Like I want to be a dishwasher. Like dishwasher my ass, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Put it on sanitation.
Yeah, go read a book. Like, just
like a self-cleaning oven.
Yeah. There like, I try to, like, you know, I try to like make the experience like I'll like usually start like reading some sort of like literotica while I'm going through the process or something, because like if it becomes so like antiseptic experience, and I know people are like, oh, it's impossible to like kind of get in the mood while you're cleaning, but like you have to, you should, otherwise like it's like not fun. You're just doing it as like a chore. So, you know, and I'm not saying like you have to sexualize the cleaning process. I'm saying remember what you're cleaning out for. Get your brain tuned into that.
Keep it sexy.
Yeah. Keep it sexy. You know, and I love it.
Luckily. Oh, no. Go on.
Sorry. No.
I was going to say I technically have a self-cleaning oven in the front. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
And self-lubricating most of the time.
Yeah. It's nice. It's like you don't even have to press on and it's,
That part I'm jealous. Like, you know, I wish I could self-lubricate. Honestly, because for the like most part, all lube is like really irritating. I mean, you know, like silicone.
Well, especially when you're dealing with little tiny tears and fissures and stuff, like that's definitely a thing.
Yeah, like the sticky stuff, like some people are into it because, you know, they incorporate like the stickiness reality of like the lube. I hate that. And like, I feel like a lot of water-based lube is super sticky, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas silicone, Okay, fine. But God forbid you spill that shit anywhere. Like, I have almost fell on my ass so many times because there's like silicone lube. And it doesn't wipe up. Like it lasts for days. Nope. Your floor is lubricated.
I have a spot on my floor. So whenever I have to do lube for a scene, I use a specific lube and I do it in a specific spot. And I put out towels and all that just because, like, it is so messy. But it, without a doubt, almost every single time, as soon as I open the cap, a little bit spurts out of the cap and it always gets on the same fucking spot on my goddamn floor. And it doesn't matter how many times I mop that damn goddamn motherfucking floor. Yeah. I have slipped in socks on that spot. It's permanent. It's permalubed. It is permanently lubed. It's right by my bed. And I almost always fucking take a header into my exercise bike because of it. It's the fucking worst.
You should try it on, like, I had this experience once, right? Like, I put down the rubber sheet on my bed thinking, okay, I'm going to maybe engage in a little WS and, like, you know, and then it'll turn to, like, fucking. So, you know, you put the lube on the bed.
And meant water sport.
Yeah. And I hadn't at the time used the sheet that many times. So I wasn't sure about all the functionality and whatever, but I know it's like, you know, you spray it down with Windex and wipe and it's clean. So that part's kind of fun. But we had been going at it for a while and, like, you know, been using lube and lubing up my hole and stuff. And then it got to the point where we were going to, like, fuck for a while. And, you know, I came to, like, the edge of the bed or something like that. And my knees just kept slipping out from, I couldn't hold any position because there was so much silicone lube on the bed. And no matter how many times I wiped it off, it remained slippery. So it was like something out of, like one of these cartoons. It'd be like, we get into mood and, like, whoo, it'd be like, oh, you know, you keep, like, moving down. And when you're, you know, getting pounded, like, you know, getting the right, especially since I'm like 6'5", it can be hard to, like, mount the beast of my body. You, like, you know, you kind of need me out. Like,
that's like some true slip and slide shit right there. That is, and
it's like so bad because, like, you know, you're enjoying yourself and then all of a sudden you can't sustain, like, you're using those inner thigh muscles. And it's like, oh my God. Oh my God. And on the back doesn't work any better because they pound into you and you go flying down the end of the bed.
You fall off the other side. You're like, okay, this is now officially just an actual slip and slide that we're going to run and dive off
of. I mean, and it's so funny because, like, you know, for anybody who is, like, you know, used to, like, ass fucking, it takes a certain kind of mental space to really, like, relax yourself, to get into, like, getting pounded and, like, really start enjoying the way it feels. And for the person pounding, like, they're doing a lot of, like, work. They're using a lot of calories, you know, like, maintaining this, like, connection of, like, energy and, like, penetrative energy is, like, a dance. And when you have anything that fucks it up, you often will get to, like, shall we finish by jerking off?
Like, you're like, that's the only thing I can get a grip on right now. So exactly. That's what we're going to have to do.
It's the only thing with lube on it that makes sense right now. Yeah.
That's great. I love that so much.
Yeah. We continue to bring you that quality content you've been looking for.
Oh, I forgot to mention earlier the point of why I was talking about my OBGYN appointment. Well, partially for the lactation bit, but also because I forgot to mention I made no jokes.
What?
I made zero. Now, a couple of people online, I said this online, and a couple people were like, because you're being respectful of his job or, like, whatever.
Oh, fuck that.
I didn't ever, I never said, A, hold on, let me talk about this for a second. A, I never said that the jokes were sexual in nature. They never have been sexual in nature at all. Are they jokes about, like, hey, you see any stalactites? Like, things like that. Like, yes, they're jokes about being inside of me, and or they're just general jokes. Like,
don't let my sarlacc pit bite you.
Yeah, like, yeah, she got you. Be careful. She's the biter. You know, funny shit like that. It was never about, like, oh, give me an extra finger. Like, I've never, now have I thought it? Yes, that's funny. But I've never, I'm sorry. Like, there is no place in the world where I would do that kind of joking with a doctor inside of me. However, joking about my own physical, like, physiology, of course I'm going to make jokes. But this doctor, for some reason, I just didn't do it. I didn't make a single goddamn joke. Was I'm not sure if I'm growing up. I'm not sure if I'm losing my luster for life. I'm not sure what happened, but it felt out of body.
Sometimes you just need that energy to be there, you know?
But I liked him. He had a good spunk to him. He was he was fatherly, super non-judgmental. He gave me the energy, like he could be receptive to a joke, but just my brain didn't even do it. I think I made a joke with the nurse. Yeah, I made a joke with the nurse for sure. But it wasn't even that good. It was, I don't know. I just felt, oh, okay. I made a joke about my pee. I was like, fresh and ready. Like when I brought back my cup of pee, there you go. Like nice and warm for you, you know? Right. But like that, no, I just felt I wasn't in my own body yesterday. It was interesting.
Don't drink that all at once.
Missed opportunity, but I'll see him again next year. So,
you can work on it. Like,
yeah, work on my stand up.
I mean, sometimes it's more precious for personalities like us if we know that they're going to be awkward because you made the joke. And I find that sometimes I will go after those people more than you know, like the doctor that you currently see, who I used to see for many years, like making jokes to him is kind of a waste of time because you know.
Oh, really? Well, I joke with him all the time.
I mean, he jokes, but I feel you know, there's no uncomfortability. Like I remember him a conversation with him many years ago about being curious about fisting. Could he tell me the safety concerns? And he is just listed them and told me
tuck your thumb,
yeah,
cut your nails, no hangnails, make sure your cuticles are clean.
Exactly. Education.
Yeah, I think I might have just blown my load with my seeing my endodontist six times in a month, because every joke, everything that came out of my mouth once he was out of it was a joke.
Hilarious.
And they were abundant, so maybe I just felt like I had used up my energy for that. But yeah, it was weird. I still think it's funny that people thought I was going to make jokes about well, now put your dick in me. No. Okay. That's sexual harassment at that point.
But as an aside, was he hot?
Yes.
See, we ask the hard hitting questions here at the
Hard
Screw
hitting.
Us.
Yes. Very hard.
Hard receiving, hard hitting. Beautiful.
People are always like, why do you see a guy gyno? First of all, it's what I'm used to. So the man that extracted me from my mother was the first man to open me up with a duck. So my mom had the same gyno for fucking 20 years, and then he became my gyno.
He's probably thought, you've come a long way.
I know. That I did say. I was like, you're the only man that's ever seen my pussy as a baby and adult. He was like, Jesus Christ, Felicia. And I was like, sorry about that. I'm not going to do that again. He was like a super family man, too. He had a picture of him with 8 children. Anyway, so I don't know if I'm just used to it, but also I think a lot of the times when you're talking to somebody that doesn't have the same equipment, they're just listening to facts. They're not listening to they're not thinking in their own head oh, I've had this experience. And I'm not going to say that I've ever had a female gynecologist for a long-term thing. So it could be completely the same. It could be absolutely, you know, they could be completely objective, whatever, but I do just gravitate toward male gynos for some reason. I'm not 100% sure why, to be honest with you. Not quite sure. But yeah, I've never been uncomfortable. I've never felt strange about it. I've never felt like they were doing anything but their job. It's all very, you know, very by the book.
That's just good. Yeah, I mean, I would be horrified if you had any other experience, obviously.
Right, but there have been people that have said that they have had terrible experiences. So
of course
I just want to advocate for the fact that I personally have never had a bad experience, aside from the gyno that, you know, gave me stupid fucking information instead of what I wanted. But that
bastard.
The actual checkup and everything was 100% by the book. And I think people forget 9.5 times out of 10, unless you ask to be alone in the room with your gynecologist, there's a nurse there with you. Mm. And they're typically a woman nurse. So like, you're fine, yeah. You know? So, but
that's
also
actually really smart.
You know, what's crazy is the nurse was like, how many, she's like, you only listed your nose as having like surgery, which I forgot about my mouth too. But she's like, you only listed your nose. What about your abortion? And I was like, well, I didn't consider it surgery because I wasn't put under. She was like, you weren't put under? And I was like, no. And she was like, what? I was like, no, what do you mean put under? I was awake during it. She was like, what? Like, she was like mortified that I was awake during my, she was like, it wasn't the pill. I was like, no, it was a go inside and extract.
I feel like that's common though, to not be put
under. I thought so too, but apparently in that practice, that's not, well, I don't know. They might not do it. They probably don't do abortions in that practice.
I mean, right. Yeah. I'm sure there's all sorts of different methods that different people employ, either because like the doctor is more comfortable doing it a certain way or
right
you know, whatever.
Mine was also what 12-15 years ago, so at this point something crazy, like a long time ago, so like, yeah, you know.
No, for sure. Wow,
whatever. Either way, that was jarring. I was like, wait, was I supposed to have been? She was like, most people are. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I even saw the baby on the screen. She was like, what? I was like, they asked if I wanted to see it. And I said, yeah, show me. And it looked like a lima bean. And then I felt even better about it. I was like, oh, even great. Good, wonderful. Yeah. I don't see any arms. Take it out. Not that arms would have deterred me, but like, you know, it's not like it was waving at me. It's not like I could see its like face. It was a fucking lima bean. Take it out.
Fair enough.
It was so funny because the gyno was like, what about like birth control or anything? And I was like, honestly, I was like, I can't do hormonal birth control. If at some point I decide to come back and get, you know, I'll do like a non-hormonal IUD. He was like, okay, great. I was like, as you can see by my records, I'm not looking to do any family planning here. Oh, so I did make a joke. That's right. I did make a joke. I made an abortion joke. Okay.
See, you have.
He was like, okay, sounds good. Like he didn't even skip a beat. Whereas like my old gyno would be like, okay, well, you might change your mind. This guy didn't do any of that with me. He didn't do, you're getting older. You need to start thinking about having babies. It's
That's
time
awesome.
To, you know, shit or get off the pot, you know, whatever you want to say. He didn't do any of that, which I fucking appreciate immensely, because I'm so sick of the assumption. And he was older, so like a lot of times I think the older doctors have more of an old school mentality, so it was really, really fucking nice to not even be presented with that. He didn't even question it. He did not once say, are you considering children? Nothing. All
That's
he
awesome.
Asked about is, are you doing any kind of birth control? Would you want to? And that's it. There was no other fucking conversation about me giving birth or how long. Because, I mean, I'm about to be 37. This would be the time where a doctor would be kind of trying to influence me to shit or get off the pot.
Sure.
And it was nice to not have that presented to me, because it's just... Like, luckily, my family doesn't, they know 100%. Like, I don't have a lot of people in my life that are
pressuring,
like,
yeah.
Are you going to have a baby? You know, so it's really nice to not even have that in, like, a health setting. Yeah. My PCP doesn't do that shit. This guy, I know, didn't. So I might stick with him. He's
nice.
Like, he's pretty good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Ten out of ten. If you're in the five boroughs and you're looking for a gyno taking new and you need a suggestion of a person, I can send you to this guy. He was good. He was good stuff.
That's awesome. And I feel like that's good
sorrow while not wasting my time. You know, I really appreciate that, because I know you can have these kinds of experiences at places like a Planned Parenthood. Right. But it's hard to get into those because there's a little bit of a wait and a backlog and whatnot. And also you don't get to see that same doctor over and over again. So if you have insurance and he takes, I think, pretty much every insurance, because he took mine and mine is kind of crappy. So if you have insurance and you need a good gyno in the five boroughs, let me know. I'll send you to this guy.
And if you're looking for a queer affirming care and don't know where to start, like, definitely hit us up too. We definitely can recommend
that
places.
That too, yes.
You know,
in a couple different
cities too, I can recommend a few places. So wherever you're listening, hit me up or hit us up.
Yeah, my PCP is also very queer affirming, very sex worker friendly, super fucking awesome. He is a gay man and I love him. So if you need any suggestions of people to go see,
fuck yeah,
hit us up. Okay, I think we're done. I think I've been yapping for long enough about my gyno, so. All right, well, it was lovely to spend some time with you, A-Love, and our listeners. We hope that you enjoyed our episode. Please give us a download, give us a shout. Don't be afraid. Follow us.
Don't be afraid. Yeah.
We want more interaction online just because I do like when people answer our questions and whatnot. So
yeah, me too.
Go follow us on Instagram.
Hell yeah.
At the Screw NYC.
Fuck yeah. Bye.
Yeah. Bye. I love you. Bye.
Bye.